A very good evening to you tonight. Thank you for taking time to join with us in this Shift Online Revival. As usual, do me a favor. Make sure that you share this broadcast with a friend, with a colleague. Tell them that Bishop Adam has come online. I'm also doing the same right now as I'm sharing this video. Share with your friends. Share with your relatives, share with your family, particularly your loved ones. Share with people that are very close to you as we connect tonight on this Shift Online Revival. Elohim has a word for you tonight. I am fully persuaded beyond reasonable doubt in this moment that Elohim is going to release eternal truths into your life, things you've never heard before, things that are going to change the trajectory of your life, things that are going to shift you to the next level, things that are going to open doors for you that you've never encountered. And I know it's customary for preachers to open up their mouth and say that. And sometimes there is no move at all. There is no inspiration at all. But tonight is very, very different because God has a word for a believer that is connecting. Allow me first and foremost to acknowledge the settlement of this commission, Apostle Mike and Dr. Ruth, and thank them so much for just allowing us to be with you here tonight and to share the word of God with you. Wherever you're connecting from, we love you, we acknowledge you, and thank you for taking time to be with us. I grew up in an era where the word of the Lord was very, very precious in the context that we highly esteemed the word of God. As years passed, as years went on, I began to notice that there was a bit of a shift and a change in the way that people appreciated the word of God. I'm from the era in my foundational stages in the faith where it was impossible to criticize another preacher. It was literally impossible to judge another man's sermon because we highly esteemed the one that opened their mouth to speak the word of God to us. And in those moments, there would then be a move of God. And most of my experiences and exposure that in those times is that whatsoever the preacher opened their mouth to say, it resonated deeply with the questions that were in my heart, the things that I needed answers and solutions to. And so I believe that tonight, God is going to give us a similar instruction, a similar pursuit, a similar direction as we participate even on the things that pertain to God's kingdom. So do me a favor, share the video, share the broadcast, share the video, share the broadcast to at least 3 people, to at least 5 people, to at least 27 people. Let's push the numbers up so that we can have a moment together, even in the presence of the Lord. Borrow us your timeline. Preach with me on your WhatsApp platform. Preach with me on your Facebook platform, on your page, and even on your profile. And thank you so much. I know there are many men of God that have taken time to join us even tonight. God bless every one of you. All right, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm going to read the opening verse in verse 1. Then I'll pray and then we'll journey our way as I now introduce you to another dimension of shift. Another dimension of shift. That is rising like an edifice and praying in the Holy Ghost. The shift that comes with that expression is what we want to delve into tonight. The shift that comes with that expression is what we want to move into tonight. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. This is where the conversation starts. Father, we thank you for your word in the name of Jesus. Give us revelation, insight, and understanding. We say amen. The Apostle Paul, who is the author of this particular text, gets to a point in his writing now where emphasis is going to shift from addressing social issues, addressing the day-to-day challenges that the believers in Corinth have had and have been experiencing. And now he's going to move into another spiritual dimension that he introduces in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And then he takes a bit of a pause in chapters 3, 4, and 5, and 6, and 7, 8. And then he jumps on now even into chapter number 12 to pick up on how the things of God, particularly in the realm of the Spirit, operate. And he opens up in chapter 12 by saying, concerning spiritual gifts. If you're using the King James Version, that word gifts there is italicized. And it will tell you, if you did a bit of Greek study in your foundational stages in theology, they'll tell you that anytime you find an italicized text in the Bible, it suggests that in the original manuscript, it wasn't there, but it was the author's, or rather the translator's edition, to bring meaning to the text. So if we're going to read this, it would say to us, now concerning spiritual, in other words, concerning things that are spiritual, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these damp idols, even as you were led. I want you to pay attention to that last phrase, even as you were led, because it's going to kick in later on when we deal with the operations of the Holy Ghost. And here the Apostle Paul says that the church in Corinth, when he began to break the virgin ground that it was, and he introduced an idea that is of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, I found you pursuing idols. You were individuals in your pursuit and your appetite for a deity. You were pursuing idols that did not speak. You were pursuing images as acts, or rather points of worship, because you did not have a revelation of what I then showed you. Verse 3 now says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So he's telling you that they are individuals that speak by the Spirit of God, whose daily linguistic development is emphasized and platformed on the Spirit of God. In other words, they stand on the pedestal of what the Holy Spirit brings as a language for them. And then he says, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Here he introduces a critical Christian component that we all must live by, which is the Lordship of Jesus. The Lordship of Jesus simply implies the government of Jesus. When we agreed to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we simply came to a place where we were coming under the government of Jesus. I am currently in South Africa, and I went through the borders as I entered into the land. And according to the South African government, they gave me a visa. And they say for this amount of days, you are allowed to stay in our land. And what that means is that I came under the laws of the South African government. If I claim to be a Zimbabwean and then I violate South African law, they are going to lock me up. They are going to try me in their courts and they are going to send me to prison because I came under the government of South Africa. Now, in the very same manner, when you say Jesus is Lord, Jesus gave you a passport. He gave you access into the kingdom of God. He gave you access into the eternal inheritance and promise that God the Father preordained and predestined before the foundations of the world. And what that simply means is that you're coming under the government of Jesus. You are saying that Jesus is my Lord. That word Lord would be translated in our present day term to be Jesus is my president. Jesus is my king. Jesus is my emperor. What it's simply saying is that everything about my life is now submitted to the lordship and the government of Jesus. The way I think, the way I order my life, the way I speak, the way I conduct myself has to come under the constitution that Jesus has released. And the way Jesus has given us this constitution is through the avenue of the Bible and through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says no man can call Jesus Lord unless they are being led by the person of the Holy Spirit. So here it comes very critical. When you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, immediately you are translated from the kingdom of darkness and you're brought even into the kingdom of light. And in that very same moment, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit into your spirit. As the Apostle Paul testifies, even in the book of Galatians, and he says, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Jesus that is sent forth into our hearts, testifies and comes into agreement with our spirit, and they echo and they cry, Abba Father. What it's simply saying is that the day you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, immediately your spirit man gave my life, and the Holy Spirit started to have fellowship, koinonia, with your spirit, so that together you can now begin to work and function and operate as God is so desirous of you to do so. Then the Apostle Paul journeys with us now. And then he says, when you receive the Spirit, there are other things that also came with you. And it opens up in chapter number 4 now. Rather, chapter number 12, verse 4. Very critical. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I want to say that to you again. Diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. Diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. In other words, it's like a platter. It's like a platter. The platter is prepared by one company, and that company is called the Holy Spirit. That company has served a meal. Every one of us can come to that meal and pick out the diversities of gifts. If you go to Durban, make sure you eat prawns. I'm just saying. Now, when you have a diversity, you can pick anything. The fact that I've picked prawns and another has picked a heck does not necessarily mean that the chef is different. It's the same chef that has prepared the meal, but he is giving diversities of operations. It's going to get good in a bit. Listen now to verse number 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. I want you to notice the difference in what the Apostle Paul says here. In chapter number 12 and verse number 4, he says diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. Now he says differences in administrations, the same Lord. He does not say the same Spirit, but he says the same Lord. To introduce you that what he's talking about now in verse number 5, is the fivefold ministry that Jesus introduced. And I did a study on that, and I saw other offices that anchor and come together with that. Verse number 6 now. There are diversities of operations,
but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Here it comes now. The Father, that is verse 6. The Son, that is verse 5. And the Holy Spirit, that is verse 4. Spirit, Son, and the Father. Spirit, Lord, and God. He shows us how the Godhead coming together releases different expressions into the lives of the believers, into those that call upon his name. I am fully persuaded that oratory, as I am doing right now, what we'll call preaching, is a gift of God the Father. He gives liberally and to as many as he would give. Now, to add on to it now, let's go back to verse number 4. The diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. Verse number 7 now. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What is given to every man? The manifestation of the Spirit. What is that manifestation? The diversities of the gifts. They are given to every man to profit withal. On Sunday when I was preaching for Apostle Mike and Dr. Ruth, I spoke about every man's prophet. And my emphasis was that through the person of the Holy Ghost, there are various expressions that we have. And here the Apostle Paul mentions them in verse number 8 until we get to verse number 10. I'll give you those quickly. He says, verse number 8, to another is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. I want you to notice the emphasis that the Apostle Paul brings here. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I told you it's one chef with a big platter. Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Verse number 11. Here it comes again. But all these working that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now here it's very, very critical. It is the same Spirit that is dividing severally according to every man's appetite. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Arendra Subrana Katala. I'll confirm that thought for you with 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 and verse number 1. He says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. That phrase, earnestly desire, is reached to a boiling point in your pursuit. So if you have an appetite for prophecy, but your appetite is only a bucket of chips appetite, you are only going to get the bucket of chips released from the Holy Ghost. But if your appetite and your pursuit of the gift of prophecy is a jumbo size bucket of chips, then you're going to get a jumbo size release from the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he will give severally as every man has pursued. The things of the Holy Ghost don't come to you because you're saying, oh Lord, please give them to me with your so small, soft, nice voice. No, there's got to be that soft, small, nice voice, but with an aggression in your spirit that says, I'm pursuing till boiling point. I am not going to stop until I have this interaction. I am not going to stop until I have this manifestation. Brothers and sisters, I remember very well when I started to speak in unknown tongues. I learned about this gift operation when I was 10 years of age, as I had been reading my Bible and reading and reading and reading. And then I attended a church that was the AFM church in Zimbabwe under Reverend Mzangaza in Warren Park, God's Grace Center. And whilst we're there, the man of God had been teaching about the Holy Spirit, about the operations of the gift, and people were being baptized in the Holy Ghost. They were speaking in unknown tongues, and I was there. I was so desirous. 10 years, 11th year, 12th year, 13th year. It was on the 14th year, brothers and sisters, when I went to church early in the morning and I said, oh God, I have been reading your Bible that it is you that gives these gifts severally as every man desires. And here I am. And I started to pursue in prayer. I started to pray. I prayed a lot that day because I came in early into the auditorium and I just found myself going ta 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 ta. As I started to speak in unknown tongues, there was the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. What happened that day? There was a deliberate pursuit. Oh, glory be to God. I know you want to work miracles, but baby, listen to me. The working of miracles is not coming on a silver platter. It's not coming because Bishop Adam is your pastor. It's not coming because you attend ECCI church. No, it's coming because deep down within you, there is a hunger, a pursuit for the very things of God. You have got to reach to boiling point as you pursue the very things of God. You've got to reach to boiling point as you pursue after God. As a deer panted for the water brooks, what's happening in that moment? There is a deliberate pursuit. There is a deliberate drive. I need this expression of the Holy Ghost. I feel God driving me tonight. Remember, it's a shift revival. And this shift online revival is shifting your life from where it has been to where God would want you to be, with an emphasis in rising like an edifice and praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what we're going to be emphasizing here. There has got to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Sepro, Krofina, Stubena, Likri, Anto, Savela, Ikaya, Zali, Lorena, Nimto, Tapila, Supane, Katosa, Stebena, Nivo, Kritala, Labanja. The church of God has to continuously pursue the praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse 1 is what we're going to build on, and then we get to verse 18. And then we'll jump to other verses, and then I'll give you a list of the advantages of praying in the Holy Ghost and the release that's going to come. Tonight, there's a release that's coming even in your lounge, even in your bedroom, even as you are on your desk studying right now, as you are just watching on the screen right now, there is a shift that the Holy Ghost is releasing even into your personal lives, into your prayer lives. Your prayer life is about to receive a quantum leap. I know you've been praying before. I know you've been engaging before, but there is a shift that's coming. You have been removed from one level and you're going to another because Elohim has ordained a moment like this in eternity. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly pursue spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 and let's start in verse number 11. Verse number 12. Let's start in verse 10. Okay, let's do verse 10, 11, 12, 13, then 14. It'll make good sense in a bit. There are, it may be, this is verse 10, 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. How many kinds? So many kinds. Of what? Of voices. And none of them is without signification. That word signification can be translated without meaning. None of them is without meaning. A baby that's saying something or that's cooing is saying something. I am uttering an utterance. When the keyboard is played, it's releasing a sound. That sound has meaning. Therefore, verse 11, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Verse number 12. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, here it is. You are zealous of spiritual gifts. Brothers and sisters, hear me very well. You have got to get to boiling point in your pursuit of spiritual things. They will never come into manifestation if you are not boiling and pursuing after them. You have got to pursue. You have got to pursue. Type in the comment section, pursue. You have got to go after, to aggressively pursue, to make sure that your spirit, your body, your soul is aggressively coming after these gifts. And it is in that place that the Apostle Paul confirms that these guys have been very, 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 very zealous. And in their zeal of this, he says, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Verse 13 now. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, here comes my first point in presentation. Let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue. He uses the word to speak in an unknown tongue. And there is a difference here that's about to come. Listen to verse number 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, here it comes now. He says speak, and then he says pray. So these are two different expressions, to speak and to pray. So it's possible that you and me can indulge in a conversation in unknown tongues, where you're on one end, I'm on one end. Maroda zibianta. Then you on the other end will say, Ladrusa Zabionta Shtekina Vasa Mrolena Nakesa Bupane Kusara Stipilikosa. As it was even in the days of old, where the Lord broke forth even upon the enemies of David, so shall the Lord bring a breaking forth even into your life. Wherever the enemy had placed an embargo and a limitation over your life, count from now in the next 10 days. The Holy Ghost is going to allow there to be a release in your life as you break forth. Whatever it is that you've continuously desired and pursued after, God is going to bring a breaking forth. Your enemies shall not restrict you anymore. Those that spoke words to curse and to inhibit your progress, those words are going to be broken forth, and you're going to have free passage and access, saith the Spirit of the living God. So what happened just in this moment? There was a speaking in an unknown tongue, and the Apostle Paul says that when that happens, pray that you may interpret. Verse number 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15 now. What is it then? Here it comes. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Now we've been told of speaking, praying. Here comes the next one now. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So you can speak in the spirit, you can pray in the spirit, you can sing in the spirit. Verse number 16 gives us another one now. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit. So that means you can bless with the spirit. All these are different expressions of what you can do in an unknown tongue. What do? You speak, you pray, you sing, then you bless. Now, go with me now to Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26. We're going to pick up something powerful there. Romans 8, verse number 26. Then we're going to come and begin to list the operations of the gift of speaking in unknown tongues. Glory be to God. God bless you, every one of you that's connecting online. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you. Continue to type in your comment section, and God is going to give us a release. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26. This is one of my favorite texts as well. Listen to this now. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That word infirmities is weaknesses. It's a continuation of verse 24 and 25. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now here, he is not saying that you don't know how to pray. No, that's not what he's saying. You know the words to say, but there may be a moment in which the thing that you're asking the Father for is not necessarily the thing that you should be praying for. And here now comes the Holy Spirit now. He now comes to pray. But when the Holy Spirit prays and makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, he is not going to get out and stand there and then he starts to pray. No. The Holy Spirit, unlike Jesus, Bible tells us in the book of 1 John that we have an advocate with the Father. That is the man Christ Jesus. He is always at the right hand of the Father who is continuously making intercession for us. So Jesus, when he prays for you, he does not need you to be praying. Jesus is standing on the right hand of the Father, standing as an advocate, standing as a lawyer instead of you. And he is speaking on your behalf. He is arguing your case. He is making intercession for you. He is praying for you. However, for the Holy Ghost, as Romans 8:26 says, for him to make intercession for you, you must be an active participant of that exercise. So you just can't say, Holy Ghost, pray for me, and then you go to bed. Or you say, I'm not driving my car. Holy Ghost, have to pray for me so that I don't have an accident. That's not the way it happens. The way it happens is as you are driving your car, you are as you are praying, the Holy Ghost is now praying through you. He is now starting to make intercessory prayer through you to the Father, so that whatever it is that might have been in your way, that thing does not necessarily come close to you. Oh, glory be to God. You are not so super intelligent of your own making that you've managed to avoid everything that has taken others out. But it is because there was one that was operating even on the inside of you, praying in the Holy Ghost. Shadow Shabaya Maranta Katala Daba Sepa Baba Baba Emma Mama Senta Dada Kapaya Shapanda Takala Bataya Landro Soposo Tola Kadila Levante Katabeza. As all that was happening, it was a moment of intercessory prayer that was taking place. I am not the most intelligent person you find around, even though I did well in school. I am not the most strategic person you find around, especially in my foundational stages in life. In actual fact, I consider myself to be very, very slow. I'm one of the slowest guys you find around in many things. That's just me telling you something. But I have found something powerful that causes me to have an advantage above others. It's called praying in the Holy Ghost. It's called praying in the Holy Ghost. When the release from my mouth, the release, the utterances, as the Holy Ghost continuously assists me, it allows me to transcend human boundaries, transcend demonic limitations, cross over demonic embargoes, and begin to operate at a level where others are not operating, as it is rising like an edifice, rising way above what is normal, what is ordinary, shifting into another realm and a dimension in God, as I continuously pray in the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, there is a group of believers that God is inviting us to, where the expression of our spirit in the utterances in unknown tongues is releasing us to a shift, a level that God wants us to inherit. Now, let me come now. In about 7 minutes, as you journey with me, I'm going to give you about 9 advantages of praying or speaking in unknown tongues. Here, I call them advantages of tongues, advantages of unknown tongues. Whether you pray, whether you speak, whether you sing or whether you bless, these nine are contained in that expression. Number one, when you speak in unknown tongues, you speak directly to God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. What that means is that there is no interruption, because you, the carnal side of you, and devils cannot understand that language. They can't understand it. It is the spirit, the recreated human spirit, the one that is in fellowship, in koinonia with the Holy Spirit, that is continuously speaking and talking and talking. So your mind might wander away. I remember the other time I was in attendance at a church service where Archbishop Manjoro was teaching. And he spoke about one of his experiences in prayer, where he had been praying. And I think it was now on hour number 3. And then his mind started to wander away. And he said that as my mind was starting to wander away, I told him, mind, come back. We are here praying. He was speaking in unknown tongues, but his mind was going somewhere else. And so he had to bring it back. And so your mind can wander away, but you are praying and you're speaking directly to God. Oh, Chandra Balekosa. Sometimes when you're speaking to a person, you say something and then another thought pops up. You want to now pursue that thought. Another thought pops up. You want to pursue that thought. There's so many thoughts that are popping up. But when you're praying in unknown tongues, you are uttering directly to God. There is no interruption or disturbance that comes to you. Number two, when you pray or speak in unknown tongues, with tongues, you are pulling down mysterious things from God. It says you are speaking mysteries. You are speaking mysteries. What is a mystery? A mystery is a secret. It's from the Greek word mysterion. It's a hidden thing, a concealed thing. You know, when you have an egg, if you boil an egg and you leave it there, a person might see it. They might never know whether it's boiled or it's not boiled. But unless you tap on the shell, then you know whether it's boiled or unboiled. In the same manner, when you speak in unknown tongues, you are tapping onto the door of the mysteries of God. You are uttering mysteries. You are speaking mysteries. In the realm of the spirit, you are releasing the secrets of God. Now, this is the way the secrets of God operate. The secrets of God are with the Lord. And God releases them, according to the book of Psalms, to those that fear him. Now, when you start to speak in unknown tongues, Marco, Zambra, da-da-da-da, Shampa, ba-ba-ba-ba, you are tapping on the door of the secrets of God. You are uttering the secrets of God. And God now releases those secrets into your spirit. And then your spirit will translate them into your soul. And your soul will put them either on paper, on pen, or will release it, even in an utterance. That's how it works. That's how it works. Your marriage has a secret code. And sometimes the reason why that marriage is bitter and difficult is because you haven't prayed long enough. You haven't tapped onto the secret of your marriage. The business that you're running has a secret code. The reason why it feels like it's hitting a rock and it's not going anywhere, you haven't. Listen to me. There is no ministry that doesn't grow. You just haven't tapped onto the secret that Elohim has released into the realm of the spirit. So the longer you pray in unknown tongues, the longer you travel, you stay in the place of Shamdakaba, you are knocking on secrets, and Elohim is releasing secrets even into your very life. Shout amen. Come on. Shout amen. We have to be together tonight. We have to continue together tonight. Number three. Speaking, praying in unknown tongues builds your faith for the now and for the life to come. When you utter in unknown tongues, you are building your faith for now and for the life to come. How do I know this? Jude chapter number 1 verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You are building yourself up and you are building your faith for the now and for the life to come. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So when you have a crisis, don't cry. Don't even cry. Speak in unknown tongues. As you speak in unknown tongues, you are building yourselves in your most holy faith. You are strengthening your faith. You are strengthening yourself on the promises of God. I have concluded, it may be difficult, but when you open your mouth to pray in unknown tongues, there is a release. Let's go to number four now. Tongues will silence your carnal reasoning. They silence your carnal reasoning. Let's go to the next one now. Let's go to the next one. I want to show you. Still in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Number 5 now. Tongues cause unbelievers to acknowledge God's presence. Tongues cause unbelievers to acknowledge God's presence. We find this in 1 Corinthians 14 verse number 22 and 23. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Do you see that? Tongues are for a sign to them that believe not. So tongues will cause non-believers to acknowledge God's presence even with you. That's what unknown tongues will do. So you must pray in unknown tongues. The next one now, by experience, number 6, tongues are also a weapon for spiritual warfare. When you speak long in unknown tongues, you are also engaging in spiritual warfare. There are so many teachings on spiritual warfare. One of the key emphasizing points when all that has been spoken is you must pray in unknown tongues. And I want to show you a Bible verse that is very, very central to the development of the Christian faith when it comes to spiritual warfare as well. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. The Bible tells us in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It doesn't end there. It says, then take on the whole armor of God. Verse number 18 is critical. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. What is he simply saying to us there? There are many expressions of prayer. There are different types of prayer that come. And every one of these prayers has a driver that is called the Holy Spirit. It is through the presence of the Holy Spirit when we speak in unknown tongues then we also engage in spiritual warfare. So you must pray in unknown tongues. Number seven. Tongues give you access to the mind of God. Unknown tongues give you access to the mind of God. He that prayeth in the Spirit, he is praying by the Holy Ghost. And the Apostle Paul says, who can know the mind of God but the Spirit of God? So when you pray in unknown tongues, what you're simply releasing in that moment as an expression is that the Holy Ghost is allowing you to pray the very mind of God. So when you pray in unknown tongues, you are releasing even into your life the mind of God. You have access to the mind of God. The mind of God is revealed in the written volumes of the Bible. But you can read that Bible like a scholar and never get anything out of it. But when you start Mandro Sabela Kiandro Kavila Lubrade Dade Kaseya, and then you read John 3 verse 16, there is an illumination that comes. There is an enlightenment that comes. It's not just that as well, but also as you pray in unknown tongues, the Holy Ghost will give you access into the mind of God for things to come. Things to come. In comes the next point, number eight. Tongues open up the heavens and they pull prophetic words into your atmosphere. In other words, when you speak in unknown tongues, you are piercing through the heavens, through the realm of the spirit, with the utterances of your mouth. And you are now pulling the prophetic mind of God into the place. Tonight, I decree and I declare even over your life, may prophetic words be released into your spirit as you sleep. As you pray in unknown tongues, may prophetic words come to you. May God begin to reveal to you the future and what the future looks like even for you. In the name of Jesus, we decree that even over your life. The last one now, as we wrap up. Tongues, when interpreted, are prophecy. When you interpret tongues, they become prophecy. So the Apostle Paul says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. This is 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Do you see that now? So when you interpret tongues, they become prophecy. They edify the body of Christ. They edify the believers that are gathered. I want to tell you something. As I speak in unknown tongue, I'm going to release the mind of God for you today. And then we will release each other to God. Merondra bila kusiyantosa. Ebaya shauna teno morunana bakiona nelari zavuyanta shtapuna kosa stapiana ludrosa kevandro kabuda esa memendo zibila ruseya stevo kibaya ura zabilo sos mamaya japaya kabaya babaya babaya baba Moro abila kusaye banute stapelo letresi vida sold. Ziko napila kase. Thus said the Spirit of the Living God. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Elijah and spake unto him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is long. The man of God arose and ate. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is long. The man of God arose and ate, and he journeyed for 40 days and 40 nights on the strength of those, that meal that he had in that day. Thus said the Spirit of the Living God, you are going to journey, but journey in the Spirit. Speak in unknown tongues as you continue to journey in the journey that God has for you. utter in unknown tongues, because the journey of a truth is coming and has been ordained of the Lord. The ascension that you're supposed to have has been ordained of the Lord. But you can't go on the strength of your carnal appetite and your educational philosophy and the things that you've acquired by human experience and human knowledge. What you are now about to experience demands a spiritual diet. Open your mouth and release in unknown tongues for the journey that Elohim has set ahead of you. I hear another utterance even from the Lord tonight. Many of you will begin to receive in the place of the sleep at night, visions and dreams. God is going to begin to release information to you through the avenue of visions and dreams. You are about to see dark secrets. God is about to reveal to you the source and the root source of many things that have bedeviled and affected your life. God is going to begin to show to you the things that have affected your family name, the things that have slowed down progress where they should have been speed. It is not that God has not earmarked you for that assignment. It is not that God has not called you for that commission. But the challenge has been that there has been a demonic embargo. But now the Lord reveals to you where the enemy has set the trap. Mosa bila kuyandra brada da da su shabaya. Hefo brokla klika tupra de balakataya. I also see even tonight in the realm of the spirit that there are individuals that have been trusting God for a car, a vehicle. God is releasing the vehicle. Aro sabra shata da da saya. Mama masampa baba baba shapa baba baba. I pull for the next 9 months into your life for a manifestation in the name of Jesus. I declare the next 9 months you give birth to that motor vehicle, whatever type, whatever type it is. I release it now. Shaba baba baba shaba baba baba. Rising like an edifice. Sebe bebe. Rising like an edifice. Sebe bebe bebe. Shaba baba baba. You are now shifting to another realm and another dimension in the Holy Ghost. Masombra della duvinti katoni. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Sampa baba baba. Brada da 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 da. Santo lo brate. Stafte bale kabuyantro la likrado sum tatapala babas. In the name of Jesus. Rise up like an edifice. Shift. 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 Shift in your life. Shift. Shift in your life. Shift. Make the conscious decision to shift. Make the conscious decision to shift. Brothers and sisters, tonight I sense that I have released what God has given me to give to you. I am so grateful to the servants of the Lord, Apostle Mike and Dr. Ruth, for this unique opportunity to share with you in the Word of God. I have given you what God has given me to give to you. And that is the mind of God. As your homework, I see there is somebody here that has done a very good thing. I think it's Liz Martina. Martina, God bless you, Lizzie. Those 9 points, ruminate over them. Brood over them. Regurgitate them. And pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Speak in unknown tongues. Sing in unknown tongues. Bless in unknown tongues. Make sure that you engage in unknown tongues. Until we meet again, before we go, they're giving details that are appearing on the screen. As usual, it is customary for us to receive an offering. It's customary. It's customary for us to receive an offering. They're giving details that are appearing. The giving details are appearing right now. Give an offering to the Lord. Sow your financial seed into this ministry. The giving details are appearing. There is a scanning QR code. Scan that code. The giving details are present with us right now. I'll just repeat them here. FNB South Africa account name
Exalted Christ Church, account number 628702-39178. Account type, check account. There's a SWIFT code for those of you that are giving from overseas or even wherever you're giving from. Sow your seed. Give an offering. Give an offering. We have a Standard Bank, South Africa again. ECC Exalted. The numbers appearing even on the screen. I encourage you to give an offering, to sow your seed, to partner with this commission. Wherever you're connecting from. Wherever you're connecting from. This is good ground to sow your financial seed. This is healthy ground to make sure that you give, you sow a seed, you give an offering, even into the work of ministry, so that together we can advance the gospel. It's so that you also are empowered to move further and prosper even in your life. Rise up like an edifice. Rise up like an edifice. Rise up like an edifice as you give. God bless you for giving. God bless you for the seed that you've sown. God bless you for the seed that you sown. Today is a Tuesday. Until we meet again for a similar program, may the Lord continue to honor you. May the Lord continue to favor you. May the Lord continue to increase you in everything that you do. May you abound in every good work in the name of Jesus. God bless you. I'll pray and release you. Father, thank you for every person that is connected tonight. Thank you for the servants of the Lord that have tuned in tonight. May your blessing continue to abide until we meet again in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.